The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
So we're talking about the horrific mass shooting. I hate saying that word, but it is exactly that.
Part of our everyday life now.
It really is. You know, I talking to my friend yesterday, you know, she said, I feel so desensitized. I can't feel desensitized, and I won't do that. Happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota at a school.
At a church.
During mass, two children were killed, 17 people injured, 14 of which were children. So today is the day that everybody gets to wake up and face the realization that their children are either in the hospital or no longer with them. And, you know, my heart goes out to the parents. I just feel helpless. I feel so helpless. I wish I could do something.
I think when you say helpless, you're speaking for a lot of people.
Otto, and you know, if you feel like you want to call in and speak on this, if you need to let it out, because that's how I feel like I just need to let it out. I'm a mom. I just want to call every mother and hold them and tell them it's going to be okay. But I can't even tell you it's going to be okay.
When our daughter was in high school, we went through a scary situation. There was an active shooter near her school. And we got a text message that there was an active shooter. And the fear that ran through our bodies. And that I just remember I was literally running out of the studio to go to her school immediately. And then we got another text that it was down the street. It's not at the school. So the fear that it took over our, like, both of us was, it's kind of hard to describe, to be honest.
It is. And in the midst of this horrific tragedy, there's a little boy. His name is Weston Halsney. He's only 10 years old. I want you to imagine this. He's in fifth grade. How many times have we talked to fifth graders on their way to school? Mom's listening to Down on the DM. Everybody's having a great day. His day was ruined by something nobody should ever have to go through. But he spoke to MSNBC, and he described what happened in the midst of all of this. Listen to the miracle that saved his life.
I was like two seats away from the stained glass windows. The shots were like right next to me.
When you heard the shots, what went through your head?
The first one, I was like, what is that? I thought it was just something. Then when I heard it again, I just ran under the pew. And then I covered my head. My friend Victor like saved me though, because he laid on top of me, but he got hit.
Your friend laid on top of you?
Yeah, and he got hit.
What do you want to say to your friend who helped protect you?
He's really brave, and I hope he's good in the hospital.
And what do you want to say to everyone that had to go to the hospital?
I hope you're okay, and I'm praying for you.
Oh, my gosh. Who is brave enough, this Victor kid, to jump on top of his friend to save his best friend? Mm. And then the way Weston spoke about it, I don't even know how he must still be in shock. How could a child go through something like that?
I was
going to
say, he sounded so composed, especially for a 10-year-old.
I think at that age, though, too, do you even know what's happening? Do you even understand what just happened?
Oh, he knows what happened. He experienced. He lived it.
I mean, his parents must just be so grateful and yet feel that guilt that you talked about, Otto, because your aunt is a vice principal at a Catholic school in Minnesota, and you were so frightened.
In Minneapolis, at De La Salle, which I was like, oh, no, hopefully it didn't have anything to do with her school. That was why I checked immediately.
And you were so thankful, and then you were
thankful,
like,
oh, and then I was overcome with guilt for being thankful that it wasn't her school.
Because these parents have to wake up. Victor, I don't know who little Victor is, but, of course, we're praying for him. But it reminded
me. He's a hero, that's who he is.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Another 10-year-old, you know, jumping on top of his friend Anthony Borges. Do you remember him? The Parkland kid, he did the same thing as Victor. He blocked the door and he took multiple shots from the shooter to protect his friends. And he survived, too. He survived. It's just these stories that
I love to hear all these great heroic stories, but I wish we didn't have to hear them at all. I wish that this would go away. I don't know what the solution is. I obviously nobody does, because we've been dealing with this for I don't know how many years at this point. It's just there has to be some kind of solution. There has to be an answer to this.
Well, I know we've got some calls coming in. I'm gonna compose myself. I'm gonna answer these phone calls. Okay, please join me in a prayer. Dear Lord, we ask you to shine your unwavering light onto the families of those who lost their children inside Annunciation Church, and those in the hospital receiving care. Also guide the physicians, please, as they work on those who survived. God, we pray that you heal the suffering of this community as they try to recover from the unimaginable. Heavenly Father, we ask that this epidemic that has spread across our nation be eradicated. Shower those who are able to make real change. Shower them with your wisdom so that they may find it in their hearts and souls to help solve this problem. So no other parent or child ever has to suffer this way. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. And also, Lord, hear our prayer.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
So obviously we're talking about this horrific mass shooting that happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show. How are you this? I don't even know why I'm asking you. How are you? I mean, that seems like such an idiotic question. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much.
That's exactly how I feel. You know, every morning when I take my son to school, he's in high school, mm-hmm. but he's still my baby.
Right.
You know, we started out this when he started going to school, as we say a morning prayer as a family, mm-hmm. just to bless his day so that he can enjoy school, enjoy his friends, his teachers, and just have a good heart and a good day.
Right.
And now I've had to add to my prayer now to keep him safe at school all day long and to bring him home safely to us at the end of the day. And as much as I want to say that, I hate that I have to say that because I hate that that's our children's reality now.
Isn't it terrible that they have to live this way, that we have to live in fear that our kids might not come home to us? And nobody seems to do anything about it. It's like it just continues and it gets worse and worse. And it's so unbelievably frustrating to me.
Every morning whenever I pull into the parking lot to drop off, I hate to say it, but I go through this mental picture of something happening and how I'm going to be able to reach my child to get him to safety should something happen. And it torments me thinking that. And I should have to think that. And
right.
I can't even fathom the loss that these parents are having and experiencing. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. You never get over that loss.
Oh, you can't.
You just learn to exist.
Exactly. Mothers universally, that's the one thing we can all agree on. Our children come first, and this should never, ever happen. Ever. There's no place for it.
I just had guttural cries watching that. I mean, and I couldn't shake it for days. And I could just imagine the fear those children experience. And
now the unimaginable pain that their parents have experienced. I want to thank you so much for calling and sharing this, because I know what you're feeling, everyone else in our community is feeling as well. When something like this happens, it's not happening in Minneapolis. It's happening to all of us. Thank you so much
for calling.
And please call back anytime.
You all have a blessed day.
You too. God bless you.
Anything I would say is just all parents and everyone, just hug your kids tighter every morning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hug your kids tighter.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I sent an email off with a swear word and I didn't realize it until later. And now no one has answered my email. So I don't know what to do. Have you ever written an email and then you think, you know what? Right before it goes off, you have that little option to undo it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that happened to me last week. I emailed a very important person. Okay. When it comes to the show, and I had asked her a question, she responded and I kind of skimmed her email. I was resending a question. I thought, wait a minute, undo.
I knew this story was in trouble the moment you said skimmed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I undid it though, and I went through and I thought, thank God I didn't ask what I was going to ask, because she had been very thorough, answered everything I asked along with an attachment. So I saved that, right? I saved myself the embarrassment. This time I asked about how many shots this person had with a client, how many times to meet, blah, blah, blah. And
wait, hold on. What do you mean? How many shots? How many?
Like, how many opportunities do you have to meet with this person?
Okay.
Like, how much shots?
Should have used that word.
Well, that's what you should have used.
I probably should have. And so instead of shots, it said oh, no. And the person hasn't answered me. The salesperson hasn't answered me.
They probably think you called them a
They probably think you want to meet in the bathroom stall.
Or they probably think that I don't like the client, or that I don't like salespeople, or that I'm a freaking rude idiot. One or the other.
You're overthinking it. It's never too personal, even though that is very unprofessional right there.
But unprofessional. They're probably going to be like, forget you. I don't even want you to meet my client anymore.
That's an honest typo. You could just flush it away. I actually was introducing my other friend the other day, and I was so confident that I remembered her name correctly, and it's Alika. And I was running around saying, hey, y'all should meet my friend Akila.
No!
Dude, until
dyslexia got you.
That's what I blamed it on. I blamed it on dyslexia.
What? Dyslexia. It wasn't that good a friend. And then this is my friend. I don't know her name.
Dude, and then she did it so nice and backhanded. She was like, Anthony, what is my name? And I was like, God, I knew I was in trouble. I knew I was in trouble right there, dude. I knew that was my moment.
At least you got an immediate response. I'm still waiting.
You just gotta call everybody man like me. What's up, man? How you doing, man?
Dude, oh, hey.
Dude, I call everybody man because I intentionally don't say people's names because over the course of being a DJ, you know how many security guards I've met, how many bartenders I've met, how many different salespeople from radio stations I've worked with, promo people. Everyone's man.
It's not a binary situation. No. Everybody's a man.
He calls ladies man.
Everybody's a man.
He calls ladies.
What's up, man? Instead of saying bud, because I feel like bud is kind of annoying.
Bud is so derogatory. If you call somebody bud,
no.
Do you think I should email the salesperson with an apology or start a new thread?
I don't think anybody really gives
a... I care. We'll be right back after this. Don't move.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
It has been a roller coaster of a morning here inside the Dana Cortez Show. And it's because of what happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Ups and downs all day long. As a mother, I just could not stop thinking about it. I hear people say we've become desensitized. I don't believe that. I think the media has. They move on because they want clicks. But we as society, we as people, as human beings are not desensitized. All I can think about is the mothers and the fathers and the brothers and the sisters and the community and the priests and the nuns and everybody that woke up today to realize that wasn't a dream. It wasn't a nightmare. It really happened. There was a mass shooting at the Annunciation Catholic School where little children were praying inside the church. I just wish there was something I could do. You know, Otto, you said earlier when I said I felt helpless. Everybody feels helpless, but there are ways to solve it. For every problem, there is a solution.
There is.
We just have to pray that those...
There's going to have to be compromise, though.
We just have to pray that those... that those in charge can find the wisdom and the strength in their hearts and soul to make the necessary changes so no children and families have to go through this pain again. And in the middle of all this horrific tragedy, there was one miracle. And it came from a little boy. He's 10 years old. His name is Weston Halsney, fifth grader. He described the moment everything started happening and the little boy who saved his life.
I was like two seats away from the stained glass windows. The shots were like right next to me.
When you heard the shots, what went through your head?
The first one, I was like, what is that? I thought it was just something. Then I heard it again. I just ran under the pew. And then I covered my head. My friend Victor, like, saved me, though, because he laid on top of me. But he got hit.
Your friend laid on top of you?
Yeah. And he got hit.
What do you want to say to your friend who helped protect you?
He's really brave. And I hope he's good in the hospital.
And what do you want to say to everyone that had to go to the hospital?
I hope you're okay. And I'm praying for you.
Nobody, let alone a baby like that, a child, a 10-year-old, should ever experience something like this. I just want to think about little Victor, who was so brave to help his best friend and save his life. And now Victor needs our prayers and our positive energy sent his way. There were 17 people in total injured, 14 of whom are little kids, and two children lost their lives, 8 and 10-year-olds. Today, their parents must grieve and face that reality. So I ask that we all collectively come together and send that energy. I'm a big believer in prayer and energy, so let's send them their way.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.